Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Judy Hall, who is the author of Crystal Prescriptions, the A to Z Guide to Chakra Balancing Crystals and Kundalini Activation Stones. Judy is also the author of the best-selling Crystal Bible, and she is a author, astrologer, psychic, and healer. She's been a counselor for over 45 years, and along with this book is the author of a million-selling Crystal Bibles. So this is a series of crystal prescriptions, and I guess this is the fourth volume, so she has other volumes as well. And today we will be talking with Judy about how to use crystals in activation of chakras and kundalini activation. Thanks for joining us, Judy.
It's my pleasure. Good to talk to you.
So you're in England, is that right?
Yes, I am, in a very wet England.
Very wet England, okay. Well,
so that's probably
why we
don't get a very clear
line.
Time.
Yeah. So give the audience a little bit about your background, if you would, please.
Well, ever since I was very young, I was attracted to crystals. They were always around me, always in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I just took that as part of natural life, as well as being psychic. That too, sort of, I never thought it was anything different or special until I got a bit older and started talking about it. And people around me thought that it was very strange. So I kept mm-hmm. quiet for quite a long time until I then had a near-death experience when I had my daughter. And I, after that, really couldn't ignore it any longer. But I became an astrologer, used crystals on birth charts. But very often I didn't know what the crystals were. And when I went to look for a book to look them up, I found there wasn't one that was particularly helpful for me. And as I'd already written a couple of books by then, I put to the publisher that we should write a direct crystal directory. And really the rest is history. From there, I think it's 45, 46 books now.
Well, great. That's wonderful. So what are the other volumes in this series? What's Volume 1?
Volume 1 is very simply an A to Z. You have a particular problem, you can't sleep, say, so you look up insomnia, and there'll be anything from 4 to 6 crystals that might help you. It's really intended as a guide, so people can find the right crystal for them very quickly, very easily.
And Volume 2?
Volume 2 was more of the same because a lot of new crystals came along and I wanted to look at some of the more emotional issues as well. But by the time we came to Volume 3, we were looking at electromagnetic frequencies and the effect that can have on people who are electrosensitive. So that really is half and half. It's half literally what will it do to you if you are electrosensitive, and then what can you do about it using crystals. But then people kept asking me about chakras, and I had lots of clients because I do workshops and I do karmic readings, and people were coming to me with the same symptoms, but coming up from different directions, if you like. And I realized that something was going on and looked at kundalini and realized that this was kundalini being activated. And crystals are brilliant for helping to direct that energy and offset some of the side effects of it not flowing well or just literally blasting through your system. So that's how Volume 4 came about, and I'm sure there will be some more volumes as and when I find another topic to write on.
I wanted to, before we get into the kundalini and chakra balancing, I want to talk a little bit about the crystals and rocks that you can use for electromagnetic sensitivity. This is a problem that we're seeing more and more. I take care of a lot of women with breast implant problems who get massive chemical toxicity when their breast implants leak, or biotoxicity from mold that changes their electromagnetic field so that they become chemically sensitive and then eventually electromagnetically sensitive. And I wasn't aware of a lot of stones, but I know that shungite can help electromagnetic sensitivity.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean,
I actually did a lecture on someone from France. You may know her. She wrote a book on shungite.
I know the book. I don't know her. The only argument I have with her is that she says shungite never needs cleaning in the book.
Right.
And
yeah.
In my experience, because it's such a good absorber of negative energies, vibrations, you know, whatever we call them, it needs cleaning all the time.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I'm a great fan of shungite. I drink shungite water every day. I put shungite into a filter jug, fill it up. That'll soon be on my website. I've recorded how to do that. So it'll be on my website or on my Facebook pages. But
why don't you give your website address now so people can look it up if they want to?
Yeah, it's www.judyhall.co.uk or Crystal Judy Hall Facebook or the Crystal Bible Facebook. So you can find me quite easily. But you need, I find, raw shungite in order to make the water really bioactive. And I can tell you from personal experience that before I found shungite, I would get serious chest infections, pneumonia, on a very regular basis. Since I've drunk it, this kind of damp, foggy weather that we've got at the moment might make me a bit sort of, you know, not quite as clear as I would be in the summer. But I have not had a chest infection since I started drinking shungite water. And I live right opposite an electricity substation, which is not the best place for somebody who's electrosensitive. And on my window ledges outside facing this station, I have big, and I mean big, 6-inch square pieces of shungite. And that has really helped to change the energies. I use other things as well. Before shungite came along, I used black tourmaline. Mm-hmm. I found that was very good. I find it's best to give a selection because different people's energy fields will interact with crystals in a slightly different way. And so you can't say, this is the one. I always say, well, try these. So smoky quartz, lapidolite, you know, that lovely sort of very soft lilac mica. That's really good. And it's one that you can wear. And I find if you wear it over your sort of mid-chest thymus, higher heart chakra, that will help. And mobile phones, cell phones, for people who are sensitive, it's really quite lethal, I think. And you can get shungite plates to stick on the phone, and that will make a big difference. So there's quite a few crystals and different ways of using them, which really do help.
Well, it's good to know you have a volume out on that, because it's like I said, the it seems like the more chemically toxic our environment is, the more likely we are to develop multiple chemical sensitivity and then go on after that for electromagnetic sensitivity. And a lot of people with that, I think, have detoxification defects like MTHFR and COMT and other genetically based defects where they can't methylate or sulfonate the chemicals. And I just wanted to mention that a friend of mine, Dr. Jeffrey Commoner, who actually played with the Eagles at one point, he was a musician that then became a doctor, he came up with something called P2D2, which in my experience is the only thing in the world that treats multiple chemical sensitivity just really well. I'm sure there's, you know, things that you can do with crystals and everything for that, but it's just wonderful. It's not a homeopathic. It's actually a combination of natural substances that you take 5 drops twice a day. So if anybody out there is suffering from multiple chemical sensitivity, he's got it in research right now, so you have to get it directly from him. But, you know, he's going to eventually sell it, you know, like normally on the market, and it'll be a lot more expensive. So go ahead and get it now. So, you know, you want to definitely take advantage of it before it's put out on the market, because they'll be able to get a pretty penny for it after, since it's the only thing in the world that really works. So,
yes.
So what, do you know of any stones that help with multiple chemical sensitivity?
Well, I find things like anandalite, which is a trademarked name for an aura quartz from India, naturally iridescent, that takes the cells back to a healthy state by bringing in light. And I, you know, not being a medical doctor, I can't tell you the cell processes that go on, but it certainly seems to improve sensitivity. And again, Shungite will do that. And the Brandenburg amethysts, which come from Namibia, they're very unusual amethysts. They just have a much higher vibration. And they seem to contain, as far as in the words I would use, a perfect blueprint of what you could be. And you can bring that blueprint in, and it changes the sensitivity. Because I was very chemically sensitive, and they really helped me. And then drinking the Shungite water helped, and then using the anandalite. So it's like it's been a process of evolving those things together. It's like a synergy of the energies. But we've just had on trial, in a very anecdotal way, ancestralite, which is a new stone that's coming in, and that seems to do the same sort of thing. We use it for ancestral healing, so that you take the healing back through as far as you can through the family and bring a different DNA pattern back through, and that reduces sensitivity as well. So far we've had some really good results.
It is genetic, you know, many of these mutation things lead to problems with detoxification, at least with the chemical part. And then we really do see the electromagnetic coming out of the chemical. You know, it's the chemicals, especially the heavy metals, cause a change in the electromagnetic of the body. That's what I would think would happen. You know, because you have so much chemical toxicity that you can't naturally get rid of through detox methods. And then whenever you interact with these other electromagnetic fields, your electromagnetic field just isn't right. You know, it probably fights with the other electromagnetic fields. And, you know, there was a paper that came out of Japan that showed people with electromagnetic sensitivity had a very high level of free radicals in their red blood cells. Isn't that interesting?
And there's been research that shows that Shungite takes free radicals out of the body.
So there you go. So Shungite water. Where do you recommend getting the Shungite to put in the water?
Well, at the moment, there used to be someone that I recommended. We sell it sometimes on Angel Editions, which is my own website, but not in such quantities. And the guy has just passed over at a very young age, and it's funny because he said to me, my work's done.
Really?
Because he brought it in, and I thought he was, from the way he was talking, he was moving on to other work and bringing other things in. I didn't realize he was leaving.
He was going to leave. Yeah.
You know, it was different.
Well, maybe he has work to do on the other side, you know, the ascension
You know, something's going on there, definitely.
That's right.
But you can get it from Russia. There's a shungite site in Russia, which I'm trying at the moment to organize something, so I've got the link on my website. Mm-hmm. But because you need these raw chunks, and most crystal shops now sell the tumbled mm-hmm. stone or the elite or noble shungite, which is much more brittle and shiny. And that is not as good for detoxing the water. You want the greasy, mm-hmm. rough stuff that leaves little black bits in the water. And when people mm-hmm. look at it first, they go, oh, you really want me to drink that? And then right. they drink it and they go, oh, that tastes so good, you know. Mm-hmm. So it will be on my website when I've set up the new link. But people
we'll
will
look
find
for it there because I'd like to get some too. I currently have some shungite that we got. Actually, it's shungite that you can get that they use in paints, I think. You know, it's a ground-up shungite, but I don't know how pure it is, you know. Well, I think I'd rather get it from your source.
I think for water you need the chunks. But there is a story which John told, that in Russia they were making paint out of shungite because mm-hmm. it absorbed things so well that they were making an anti-radar paint for their submarines.
Right, yeah.
So that was
Shungite is a combination of carbon and, is it volcanic based? Yeah. Or what is shungite exactly?
Well, what John, who is Russian, told me was that the lake where it comes from, it's only this one area of Karelia in Russia, and the lake was actually hit by a meteorite.
Ah, so it might be not of the planet.
Millions
of
years ago.
Yeah.
So it's carbon, but it's part in Russia, it's regarded as the mother because it brought seeds of life to the planet. Mm. So it's been they've been using it for a very long time, and they mine it quite extensively. So it is easy to get hold of.
Yeah, it's known for its properties of absorption. It'll absorb radar. I think radioactive too, won't it?
Yes,
it does. It cleans up electromagnetic fields and it just is a big absorber. And it's black. It's a black stone,
But they've also
a piece of it around my neck right now. I wear it all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
I do. Especially if you're around people who are using phones and Wi-Fi, things like that.
Right, yeah.
But in Russia, all the tests they've done there, it's antibacterial, antiviral. It takes out the free radicals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have proved to their satisfaction that it is very biologically active. In England, and probably the same in the States, you know, we're way behind with researching these kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Russia probably doesn't have quite as bad of electromagnetic pollution as we have here.
Probably
or at
not,
least
but
not
the
yet.
Lake that it comes from, apparently, is highly polluted with chemicals, and yet the water that comes out the other end, it's clean.
Pure, yeah. Well, like I said, there is a connection between chemical sensitivity and electromagnetic sensitivity. And, you know, probably people don't realize they're chemically sensitive unless they're around chemicals. You know, if they're not, they may not realize it. But most of us can't avoid it being around electromagnetic fields because we live in the cities and there's cell towers and Wi-Fi and, I mean, almost every business is just filled with electromagnetic fields. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it can take, for some people, quite a long time for the physical effects to become apparent. With other people, it's very fast.
Yeah, one emergency room doctor came up to me. He knew I was into all this stuff, and he said, how come whenever I hold the cell phone up to my ear, I get a rash on my cheek? You know, it starts out like that. Yeah. And I said, you're lucky because a lot of people have this, put the cell phone up to their ear and they start clotting off their temporal artery. You know, they actually get temporal arteritis and can get stroke symptoms, you know, from clotting off vessels in their brain.
Yeah.
So you got to be, I mean, they're real serious electromagnetic side effects, you know, from cell phones.
And
it's usually on the side that they're holding their cell phone, you know.
Mm,
I don't put it on the speakerphone and get some protection.
Yeah. Well, if you get one of these Shungite stick-on plates, it really takes those side effects away.
Right.
So
it's a great idea.
Very good stuff. You know, I think the other things, black tourmaline works as well. If people can't get shungite, they can get black tourmaline and take
that
to their phone or get a big piece, stick it by the computer. My computer, you know, is covered in crystals, which I clean regularly as well because you have to remember that these things need to be cleansed. I use crystal essences to cleanse them so that otherwise they stop working. And that's, so if you've got shungite around your neck, it needs cleaning every day.
Otherwise, well, let's talk a little bit about chakra balancing. And you want to tell the audience why it's important to know about your chakra system and how to balance it to avoid disease?
Yes. Well, for me, the first chakra that you really need to pay attention to is one that was hardly mentioned for a very long time because we ended up with just the sort of seven that people know about, starting with the base at the bottom of your spine. But in fact, we've got an earth chakra beneath our feet and another chakra under that. We've got chakras in our knees. And if we're not connected to the planet, if we're not grounded, if we don't have energies in balance, not only in our body, but with the earth, with the planet, then you get these people who are so spaced out, but you get all kinds of problems around insomnia and immune system deficiencies, simply because the energy isn't flowing between the earth and the body. And then coming up the body, if each chakra isn't balanced in turn, the energies will be flowing in a slightly off kind of direction. And that can affect your hormones, it can affect your digestion, because each chakra, each energy center, is linked to different parts of the body, different processes within the body. So the more in balance you can have all your chakras, and that means going right up to the head, and then above the head, there are the spiritual chakras, which then hold you between sort of earth and sky, as it were, earth and the cosmos. And when those, all of those are aligned, they're opening, they're functioning well, then your energy field can assimilate energies that are coming in from the cosmos or up from the earth. But it takes it in as a nourishment instead of an irritant. I think with chakra balancing, you get a chakra that's out, and it's almost like having a bit of grit under your foot, and you know, that feeling of can't put your foot down and you aren't really balanced. So for me, it's essential to keep all the chakras cleansed, energized, because if you've got one that's shut down, the energy can't flow. If you've got one that's too open and is spinning like mad, which some people will have, say their head, the kind of mental chakras, they're people who are thinking all the time, and those chakras are overactive to the detriment of the rest of their body. So that's why they're important. And then, of course, they link to all the subtle energy bodies as well, and to the electromagnetic system of the body to such a sort of complex interaction.
Carolyn Mace has said that in every case of cancer that she's seen, the chakra associated with the organ is not functioning correctly. So theoretically, if you could keep all your chakras in optimal function, you may very well be able to avoid cancer, which is, you know, a really good thing to do, especially in your 80s or 90s, you know, where it's so common. So
and
that
I
would
think,
be...
too, you know, if we go back to the electromagnetics and to Earth energies as well, if you're on the detrimental Earth energy line, I mean, the research here and in Europe is that people with cancer are on disturbed Earth energy lines as well. So if your chakra's out, you can't deal with those disturbed energies anywhere near as well as someone whose chakras are protecting them because they're protective.
And yeah, it's also real important to make sure you're not in any geopathic stress areas. 50 to 70% of cancer patients are on a geopathic stress line. And if they would just get off of it, you know, not sleep on it, not work on it, not watch TV on it, they would probably be a lot better off.
But also the beauty of crystals, and interestingly, most of the ones that work for EMS work for geopathic stress as well. With crystals, if you can't remove yourself, you can use the crystals to divert the mind or to transmute the energies. And that's something I've covered in Volume 3.
Yeah, that's very good for people who can't move or, you know, don't have a very big house and a geopathic stress line goes right through it, you know.
Oh, well, I've used some work that Nikki Crocker in New Zealand did on geopathic stress and the stages of it. And we were looking at her case history went exactly along with mine. You know, if you've got a bad energy, in quotes, whatever it is, whether it's from the energies coming in from across the road in my case, or whether it's underneath your feet in somebody else's case, if you put crystals around your bed and you put, again, the black tourmaline, shungite, smoky quartz, things like that, it will make your bed a safe place to sleep in. If you put them around the outside of the house, then it makes the whole house safe. And you can
it's real important to sleep in a protected area, because when you go to sleep at night, your normal protection that you have when you're conscious isn't there. So if your bed happens to be in an electromagnetic field from a cell tower or a bunch of Wi-Fi in the room. I'll tell you this, when I run a cancer clinic here, and when people get recurrent cancer, they often have it from an electromagnetic source. You know, their husband put Wi-Fi in the bedroom, or they're, you know, there's some sort of change in the electromagnetic field that they're sleeping in. And so Faraday cages, you can buy a Faraday cage and put it over your bed for about $1,000, you know. And
well,
you might want to consider doing that if you can't get away from the cell tower.
Yeah.
You know.
But if you put crystals, it creates the same effect.
Yeah,
so
that would be a lot cheaper than the Faraday cage.
It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you can douse the difference. I mean, you know, you can quite clearly feel it. You can show it with dowsing. And the health improves. But it's people who take their phone into the bedroom and they have to have it on.
Right.
In case somebody
it's
calls
It's better to put
them.
It on airplane mode, you know.
Yeah. Well, you preferably leave it in completely away.
Right.
But when I
That's
travel
true.
And I sleep in a lot of hotels because I go around doing workshops, I take my crystals, I have my shungite, I wear my shungite, I put black tourmaline around my bed, and if I'm on a plane, I have Preseli Bluestone. I find it's wonderful. It's the stone that they made the center ring of Stonehenge from. It came from Wales.
Well, I'm going to recommend your third volume to my cancer patients then. Because that's where you have all these prescriptions, right, for the electromagnetics, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's really important for them.
Yes. And you know, that combination of having themselves protected and their chakras mm-hmm. balanced, and if they can then use the Kundalini energy, that really has a very powerful healing effect as well, which is mm-hmm. how I came to put chakras and Kundalini together, because I realized that in people where Kundalini was being activated, sometimes without really setting out to do that, but sometimes mm-hmm. they were doing Kundalini yoga or something like that, and it wasn't really rising in a sensible kind of controlled flow. It was shooting mm-hmm. off sideways because the chakra was blocked or something like that. But when people began to get this gentle rise of Kundalini and then it going back down, instead of just shooting out in all directions, you could get a flow going back from the top of the head down to these chakras under the feet and then back up through the body. That would re-energize and re-pattern the cells.
Mm-hmm.
So any sort of dis-ease, whether it was physical or emotional, was really helped by getting that very gentle Kundalini flow. And that, again, is crystals, just mm-hmm. gently laid on the body. Find the right one for you and work with it. And amazing things happen.
So in the fourth volume, Crystal Prescriptions, you go through all the major chakras and also minor chakras, like the knee and the ones below and the ones above as well. And you talk about when they're too open, when they're not open enough, and what crystals can be used to balance them.
Yes.
And activate them if they need to be activated.
Yes. And it's a very simple self-help technique. Or you can get mm-hmm. your best friend to help you. You know, it's not something that you need to be really advanced in crystal work. Anybody can learn how to do it very quickly.
Right. Now, Kundalini activation, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the symptoms that occur when Kundalini energy is flowing but there's blockages, so people can recognize if they have that problem?
Yes. I mean, there is a huge list, which I put together in the book from both people who were reporting it to me and people mm-hmm. who were talking online about it. And probably, I think, the most common symptom that I found was insomnia, difficulty mm-hmm. sleeping, immune system breakdown, adrenal overload, and bladder infections and digestive things like that. But also very obscure kind of twitches, headaches.
Twitching, it's mostly neurological too.
Yes, well,
a lot of neurological symptoms.
Which part of the body is being, which part of the body is being activated. But dizziness, things like that. And for a lot of people, it was almost like being menopausal. Flashes of energy, hot flashes or sometimes cold flashes, and tinnitus and restless legs.
I just want to tell a short story. I had a patient, actually a friend, who was running a hyperbaric chambers here, and he had a Kundalini activation, but he had a chakra block, and he went to a neurologist who ran $10,000 worth of negative testing, and then finally he just was guided to our meditation group. And we just did probably 15 minutes of laying on of hands, removing the blockages, and his symptoms went away. So I tried to tell the neurologist it was Kundalini activation, but he couldn't understand that concept. He was
no,
Catholic. And when I started mentioning Kundalini, he thought it was of the devil, so we the conversation ended there. But basically, you can spend a whole bunch of money in modern medicine and never get to the bottom of it. This particular person was jerking so hard that he was afraid he was going to have a wreck when he was driving.
Mm.
You know, the jerks?
Yes.
They can be dangerous when you're driving, you know.
Yes.
If you lose control.
I mean, very uncomfortable. But equally, you can get it at, if the chakras that are blocked are more psychic, more spiritual, you get all these very weird, almost like walking through hallucinations. So you're, mm-hmm. you're awake, but it feels like you're walking through a dream.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Real alterations in consciousness.
Yes, disorientation, not being able to stay in your body. So
that's not good for driving either, is it?
No, I was going
to
say.
You've got to be able to stay in your body when you're driving.
I had one person who said, oh, I sit on top of my car and tell myself what to do.
Oh, no. Well, that's okay if you stay on top of your car, but guess you can look all around and see what's happening. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It was like, get yourself some flint.
Yeah. Well, the point is, regular medicine can't help you. They'll run all these tests and spend a lot of money, and they'll all be normal. Because you're not going to find it on an MRI, okay?
Yeah, I don't know whether you have the same problem in America, but they will give you drugs here just to see if it'll work, just in case. And then you get a whole load of side effects from that because your body can't assimilate the drugs.
Yeah, it's a big electromagnetic field, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
that's right. That's not good. Probably make things worse. But this is a great book, this Volume 4, because it really tells you how to, with stones, which are mostly pretty affordable, you know, they're not, you know, you're not saying to put diamonds all over your body, you know, it's mostly stones that you can get pretty cheaply, and then help with the blockages.
Yes. And one of the things that I've been recommending to people is to get either my Crystal Wisdom Oracle, which is a set of cards, it's a divination set and a healing set, or to use, I've got a book called Power 101 Power Crystals, which is an American book. And the photography in Power Crystals and on the Crystal Wisdom Oracle is so good. The guys captured the energy of the stones. So you can actually lay them, if they're expensive or you can't get hold of the crystal or you suddenly need something. If you've got a Crystal Wisdom Oracle pack, you just get the card out, lay it on, and it will do the same job. And I love that. You know, you haven't got to go out and buy hundreds of stones.
Mm.
You can just use that. And then if you find one that really works for you, then you invest your money in it if it's one of the more expensive, high vibration. But most of them, you can buy a tumble stone. I don't know what you pay in America, but in England we pay a pound, you know, a couple of dollars for something that will work just as well as a great big one. Because it's the energy, not the size.
It is, yeah. I had a patient come to me one time who had arrhythmias. And I told her just to go down to a store we have called Crystal Blue here. And I said, what you need is some emeralds. But don't buy the expensive emeralds. Just get a little thing of undone emeralds, because that's pretty cheap.
Mm.
And then wear it right over your heart chakra. And she said the arrhythmias went away because emerald energy. Yeah, yeah. So you don't have to. I mean, you can go out and buy an emerald if you want. That's okay. But you can also do the stones, you know, that are just rough. They have the same energy.
I always say it doesn't have to be big or beautiful to work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we're dealing with shifting energy fields here.
Yes.
So.
And the thing is, the crystal has a much more stable, much more perfect energy field than we have. Because it doesn't have all these chakra blocks to put the energies offline. And so the crystal will bring you back into balance because it's got the better energetic state. And so it doesn't matter if it's raw and rough and chipped. That's another thing. You know, people say, oh, that crystal's got a lump out of it, a chip out of it. Oh, you know, it's not very pretty. And I say to them, but it will work twice as hard because it knows what it's like to be wounded.
Right.
You know, their face, they sort of look at me as if they're this woman's mad. But I'm quite used to that, so I ignore it.
Now, one of my friends told me one time that smoky quartz could be used for anesthesia. Can you tell me anything about that?
I know people who have held it during operations.
It has a numbing effect?
Well, it does, and it absorbs the toxicity. But personally, I wouldn't use it as the only thing. But I have.
Well, maybe maybe it's used for that. Maybe it's used to help with the chemical basis of the anesthesia.
But the other thing is, I have had ops under anesthetic from acupuncture. And so if you put the smoky quartz, if you had somebody who could do it for you, most physicians, I don't think, in England would be very happy with this, but you never know. Mine allowed an acupuncturist to come in. If you put the smoky quartz onto the acupuncture points, I don't see why that shouldn't work as well as acupuncture needles.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting thought to pursue.
I just wondered if you'd ever heard of that, because I know that it was actually an anesthesiologist that told me that.
So, oh, interesting.
Yeah. She knew about some stones. She said smoky quartz could be used.
I mean, certainly I've used them to take out if with dental anesthesia and things like that. You know, I always afterwards have a smoky quartz on my face and massage my face with smoky quartz to take out the effect of the anesthetic. But I haven't thought about using it as the anesthetic. I'm just talking about
You had mentioned earlier that there are crystals that can help you go back generationally and remove energies that are intrusive, you know, like generational curses or, you know, intrusive energies that need to be removed back generationally. Is that right?
Yes. And on my website, there are articles and blogs I do. A regular blog, and there are quite long lists of stones for that. And also on the Other Side magazine, it's an internet, US internet magazine, I've also put the stones for ancestral and karmic healing on there, because there's quite a few that will really help. And what I like about it is when you've done that work, it frees up future generations. They don't have to have that held within their DNA. It becomes free for them. So you're really doing a massive clearing job every time you do one for yourself.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour here. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Yes. It's www.judyhall.co.uk or www.angeladditions.co.uk and Crystal Judy Hall Facebook or the Crystal Bible Facebook.
Well, today we've been discussing Crystal Prescriptions, the Volume 4, which is Chakra Balancing and Kundalini Activation. But Judy has, you know, the Crystal Bible. She has a couple of volumes on symptoms that you can use for specific crystals for, and then her Volume 3 is on electromagnetic sensitivity and how crystals can help with that. So, Judy, if you wouldn't mind, we'd love to have you back on maybe to talk about, you know, some of the other books that you have at a later time.
Oh, that would be great. Yes.
Yeah, so just decide what you want to do and see if your publisher will get me a copy of the book, and we'll get you back on, because I have a feeling we have a lot more to discuss than
I have a
just
lot
one
more
hour.
Books. Yes, that would be
right.
Great. We'll do that.
Okay,
I'll make
super.
Sure they contact you.
Thank you. Well, we've been interviewing Judy Hall, who is a prolific writer and the author of many books. Today we've been looking at crystal prescriptions, chakra balancing, and kundalini activation crystals. I think anybody who's serious about spiritual evolvement will want to read this book. These crystals are a great aid to anybody involved in this work. And hope to have Judy back on to discuss some of the other books that we've talked about today. Thank you very much for joining us, Judy. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. It's been good to talk to you.
Okay, this is Dr. Susan Cobb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.